These were up to 70 grams per ton. And there were a lot of them that were ranging from 10 grams per ton up to 40, 50. So in a condensed area, you can see, okay, we got 3 square kilometers, but we're finding a lot of surface gold. The other thing that I should mention is the nuggets weren't rounded off. When something travels through water, soils over a long period of time, gold is so soft that it would round off these edges. But that's not what happened. They come out, which means it hasn't traveled very far, which means the source should be fairly close.
Elaine Weeks, Incor Gold Corp. How are you, my friend?
I'm really good, Andy. Thanks very much. And a good morning to you from Northern Canada.
Yeah. Good morning. So a lot of people, when we talk about, I should say, Incor Resources, the several times I've had you on, we talked about the onshore oil drilling program that you have and all of the great things that you have going on with that. But you actually are very, very diverse and inclusive. And I would say you're really this play in Cambodia, a natural resource play in Cambodia. What do you got going on with the wild boar property? And what are you guys doing there?
Well, Andy, of our 3 mineral exploration licenses, the one farthest north in Ratanakiri province, so this is very close to Vietnam, is Andong Nia. And Andong Nia has a great gold prospect on it called Wild Boar. So we have done the soil sampling. We've got great results from that. We've done trenching. We've got magnetics on it. And so now we're drilling it. And ultimately, I'll just really quickly go through a couple of slides here to show you what it's like. But here down in this little yellow is all of Cambodia. And then we take the top half, and this is how close this little magenta box, that's how close you are to Vietnam. Like, it's literally about 40 miles. So meanwhile, on the other side, we have Andong Boar, which is a copper gold porphyry. But it's Andong Nia currently that we're focusing on with our drilling program. And then down here, you can see the wild boar. It too has other gold prospects on the other side of this river. So this is a bit of a close-up. A lot of really strong gold float samples. And then on the other side, we have a copper gold porphyry. So this license has lots and lots of potential. And why did we go here? Well, one of the first things we look at is what's happening on the license. And when you see artisanal mining, these people are not wasting their time digging holes in the ground. So here's an example of what we saw on the wild boar prospect some time ago. And ultimately, they were mining. They were pulling out gold and from pits. And it's these are some rocks from a high grade vein sample.
Right. That's beautiful.
Well, it's part of the science. You know, you look at, okay, what are the locals doing? What do we got for magnetics? What have we got for soil sampling? But it's probably, these were some of the grades that I think we were just so impressed with, as far as like these were up to 70 grams per ton. And there were a lot of them that were ranging from 10 grams per ton up to 40, 50. So in a condensed area, you can see, okay, we got 3 square kilometers, but we're finding a lot of surface gold. The other thing that I should mention is the nuggets weren't rounded off. When something travels through water, soils over a long period of time, gold is so soft that it would round off these edges, But that's not what happened. They come out, which means it hasn't traveled very far, which means the source should be fairly close. So there's some really basic extrapolations that we make from that, but it certainly is enough for us to be paying attention to the license and saying, okay, what do we need to do here? So we take our own team out, of course, and we have a little bit different way of sampling and making it a little bit more scientific, but this is our top. Sok Vun is our top Khmer geologist. He's been with us a long time, right from beginning when we were first landed in Cambodia. And you can see him down here sampling some of these pits.
Yeah. Now, Dwayne, how often do you go on site, specifically to this site?
Me personally?
Yes.
I used to spend about 8 months of the year in Cambodia and 4 months in Canada. COVID caused lots of shifts for us, but and now Mike is there about 8 months of the year, and I'm probably only there about four. So I would go to. Yeah, it just depends on what's happening. Now we mentioned some of the other prospects that we had looked at. This was a little bit west of Wild Boar, but this was another mine that they had, the artisanals had been in. This fellow sitting on these bags graded at 20 grams per ton. And so it's really important that we take a look at these and say, what else can we do in these prospects? So ultimately that, and something we're really proud of, is we've done with the indigenous communities, we've done an agreement, and it's a precedent setting agreement in the country. And it's right from prospecting through exploration, development, production, to help the communities and work side by side with them on economic development, education, and health issues. So again, this was during COVID, but, Mike was there, kind of stuck there for 10 months. And so we had been working on this for some time, but we were able to get this agreement signed, and it's worked very, very well with these communities, really well. So we go back and forth, and most of it's about listing. What do they need? What are they looking for? And it's not money. It goes up. People say, oh, they just want money. No, that's not it. They want to educate their children. They want to have some power in the community. They want their road fixed so they can travel on it. And, you know, they're not asking for things that are unreasonable.
They want what everybody else wants, right?
Exactly. You know, it's like, Andy, you would like me to treat you the same way I would like to be treated, right? It's, yeah. Gosh, it's their land. So for us to be stepping on it, we should have their permission.
And yeah, absolutely. I want to ask a little bit more about the specific project, but before I do that, I'll make a comment. Elaine, it is just so apparent and obvious that you love Cambodia. You love this place in the world and the people, and you're doing it the right way. That is often so lost in this business that we're in, mining, exploration, and that sort of thing. So, you know, that just really, really comes out in just talking to you. And that's why I asked you, how often do you go over there at this specific property? And you're over there a lot. 4 months out of the year is a lot. So, and Mike's over there 8. So I'm very pleased to see that. And you have to be there, correct me if I'm wrong, really to really move a project along and to get what you want. And that is obviously to help the people, but you have to help the people to extract whatever's in the ground. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Absolutely, Andy. And look, we want to, if there's no technical project, we don't really have a place there. There has to be a project. But I say this to all of our investors. Look, we all want to make we all want to make some money on this. We want to have a decent return. But there's more than just a financial return. And I want our investors, I want our shareholders, not just to make money, but I want them to be immensely proud of how they made their money with Anchor, so that they can stand and look in the mirror. They can face anybody and say, I was involved with some great projects. They changed the communities and they changed the nation, but they did it in a manner that helped those communities, helped those people. They made a difference. We take the best of what we have from a developed world and we implement it in a developing country. And that's, I guess, what drives me is, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about how many, well, I guess for some people, but for us, it's not about how many zeros are behind our net worth. It's about how did we make that net worth?
Yes.
What did we do that made a difference in people's lives? And it really, it should happen everywhere. It should happen in our backyards. It should happen to the fellow that fell next door coming out of a step and slipped on the ice. And we should be looking more towards community and how we can make our world a better place instead of how we can be lining our pockets and taking advantage of others. That just doesn't work for us. So, I think Cambodia is a great example of how people have survived the historical past and come through it. And now we can help them find a way forward that gives them both dignity and economic benefits and a much greater skill set. So from the time we were there to the time we leave, I'd like to be able to look back and go there. I'm really keen about what we've done.
Yeah. Well, I'm very proud of you and I'm proud to be a shareholder. Can you talk about the project? And you might not be able to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Do you have any idea about the size of what you have in the ground?
On this particular one, yes. So it's about 3 square kilometers. I can take you back up to, and ultimately when I talk to, you know, our VP of X and our geoscientists and whatnot, because it's so close to surface, and we won't know until we drill, and we may have to drill deeper than 200 meters, but literally you could go in here with a cat and a grader and start scraping back the soil, processing it, stockpiling it. So you move through your prospect in a manner like this. And then as you process it, you come back and you fill it in. So it's a large, because it's that large, it would mean it would be open pit.
Yeah.
And much easier to manage, much easier to manage. And I guess what I get excited about, you know, when they start talking about open pit, I kind of go, all right, we know what we can do when we put that soil back, because then you can move into other cash crops. So yeah. I look at things like, okay, and bamboo is just one example, but if there's a market for it, then they can pop that in and plant it. And as long as they've got decent water sources, and the community then has an ongoing sustainable resource after the mine is reclaimed. Now that's many years down the road, but that's the theory behind companion cropping and doing it in with a mining operation. There's a whole variety of things we can do. So it's a large area. I mean, 3 square kilometers is a lot. You know, I think about. So, and if you can do it progressively, it's not like you've got this great big honking hole in the ground.
Right.
But you do it in stages. So
got it. So give me some ETAs and some time frames where people should, and you have it on the last slide, I think, what people should be expecting, what investors should be expecting here over the next several months. It looks like, are you doing a pre-feasibility study yet or?
Not yet. No, we'll be drilling here and then we'll move over to Canada Wall. That's the plan. We have a partner, BSN is a Khmer entity, a Cambodian registered company, but their parent is in Vietnam. So ultimately, they wanted to drill this first and then move over to these others. And then we'll make some decisions about the results, what they're showing. So I would expect we're going to see drilling between now and August.
Okay.
Ongoing on that particular license. So
over the next 6 months, we'll be drilling and just seeing what we have.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So listeners and viewers should have the expectation of just tune in for the news that it should be flowing over the next several months.
Sure. And ultimately, again, I want to stress that, yes, we have energy projects going, but we have great teams and they just kind of click along side by side. And so here's what our mining team is doing. And here's what our energy team is doing. And these guys can go, we've had up to 3 drills at a time going in the province of Ratanakere on different prospects. I don't anticipate that this time. I think we'll probably just have one. But one never knows. All those things happen and change. And if the funder comes along and says, I want to go faster, okay. Can we handle it? Absolutely. Absolutely. We've done it before. And so then in due course, we'd also like to drill out that other license, Andong Bor, on the other side of Cambodia. And
got it.
Hope that we would see that later on this year.
Got it. You know, I'm thinking about all of this. I think Anchor Resources, Anchor Gold, it's really what it is. What you guys have done is this is a play on Cambodia, getting exposure to that part of the world as from an investment point of view. And which is very attractive because there's not a whole lot of public companies that are doing that and doing it obviously in the right way that I can think of. I mean, you're the only one that I can think of. And then, so that's very attractive and really, again, putting on your investor hat, the return comes usually with the first people. So, fantastic. Yeah. Guys.
Well, thank you, Andy. I mean, look, being the first or second in a country, I mean, it has its issues. You know, you've got to...
You're paving the way.
you have to break trail here.
Yeah.
And sometimes breaking trail through monstrous jungles isn't exactly always fun. But
but
it also gives us the opportunity to set a standard.
And
I think, again, I think Cambodia has lots of, you know, historically, when you look back, I mean, Cambodia was, it was like the Pearl of Asia. And I know that term has been used for Singapore, I believe, but Cambodia was a very, very sweet place. Now they've had lots and lots of issues, 50s, 60s, 70s with a variety of different wars. Really, they had it was not their battle. It was just that they're really close to Vietnam. That was it. And so as they come out of that, and then they go into their own civil war with the Khmer Rouge. They came through that, you know, that was the 70s. I think 1995, the UN declared it a safe area. But talk about a country that has absolutely blossomed in 25 years. You know, I mean, look, there are places in Phnom Penh that I would walk through and say it's like being in downtown Vancouver or Toronto or, you know. Or some of the U.S. cities. And so that doesn't happen without some governance behind it saying, all right, we're going to move this nation forward.
Yeah.
Infrastructure in the country has developed. So I think it's a great, great place. I think there's lots of opportunity. It does have an Asian flair to it, of course, because that's where it's located. So I think people hesitate to kind of go, oh, it's in Asia, but we've worked in a lot of developing countries and we found Cambodia. It's very safe. You know, it's predictable. It's, and yeah, I think there's a great opportunity here. And honestly, I think we're really close to the finish line. So
I do too. Well, Delaine, if people want to know more about you and know more about this project, how do they find you, and what exchanges are you traded on, and all of that?
Okay. In the US, OTC, we're ANKOF. In Canada, on the TSX Venture, we are ANK. Our website, www.anchorresources.com. You can reach me, dw@anchorresources.com. My phone number's on there. So I had actually a couple of American investors or call me to say, I can't believe you're answering your phone, because we've shifted away from that. But I said, yeah, I'm old school. I'll answer my phone.
Right.
I'll answer your questions. So yeah, reach out if you've got questions and need some more information or just want clarity on anything that I've touched on.
Excellent. And just for full disclosure, I am an investor, a very happy and proud investor, as well as Anchor Resources. And Delaine has been a proud sponsor of naturalresourcestocks.net. It's been, it's been just this last few months getting to know you and the project. It's been fantastic. And I'm looking to help you and be there with you when we push this through the finish line. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for your time.
And it's always a pleasure, Andy. You have a wonderful day.
You bet. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.